It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, for this hour of mystery. Later on in the hour, we'll hear Casey Crime Photographer from Christmas Day, 1949. Right now, it's Mystery is My Hobby, with the story Death Writes an Epitaph, first heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on January 21st, 1948.
When a person writes mystery novels, very apt to think that nobody can write them the way he can. His plots are best. His characters stepped right out of his books and they live. But I've found out there are others. Other writers whose stories sell too. But when an author is living his own story, that's another matter. Take the case of Herbert Wesley, for instance. Herbert Wesley was a mystery writer. He used to be a good one.
Operator. I've been dialing Newmark 5293. Martin Drake. I can't get any answer. Line's been busy. Operator. Please take a message. Tell Martin Drake. Word for word. Tell him Herbert Wesley called. Herbert Wesley, the writer. Tell Drake I'm gonna die. No use calling a doctor. Poison will get me before a doctor can get here. Tell Barton Drake. Read manuscript. In my room. Just finished manuscript. Tell him. Read it. Want him to know Herbert Wesley made great comeback. Herbert Wesley, best mystery writer ever lived. Wasn't for poison. Doctor no good. No. No use. Do it. Tell Barton Jay.
I didn't know about that phone call. That afternoon it was hot, muggy, much too hot for the concentrating, energy-consuming labor of writing. I walked aimlessly through the deep shade of the park and out again into the burning heat of the main thoroughfare. Almost without knowing it, I found myself in front of headquarters. Why not? The good inspector's office at least is air-conditioned. And what I wanted more than anything else in the world was copious amounts of cold, cold air. The air I got was hotter than a baked potato.
Where the devil have you been, Bart? I've had the whole force out looking for you for the past hour.
Why, Inspector, I had no idea. Why all this sudden desire for my company?
You know a guy by the name of Herbert Wesley?
Herbert Wesley? Yeah, yeah, sure. Fellow writer of Thrills and Chills. Great talent. And greater eccentricity.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, go on.
Hmm?
Go on. Tell me more.
Well, Herbert Wesley could be a great writer if he'd get down to earth, but he won't. He lets his emotions get the better of him. Consequently, his life has been one upheaval after another. Inspector, if you'd ever seen Herbert Wesley, you'd most surely remember him. He has a gaudy flair for the flamboyant.
Huh?
I said he has a flair for the flamboyant.
What's that?
Excuse me, Inspector. He likes garish clothes. He's a show-off.
Oh.
For example, one of his eccentricities used to be that he'd never sit down at a typewriter unless the ribbon was brown rather than black.
Screwball, huh?
Well, I've heard that he's given up that sort of thing, though. I heard for the past year he's been really and honestly trying to do good work.
Uses a black typewriter ribbon now.
So I've heard. Now might I ask you a question?
Sure, shoot.
Has your sudden interest in my rival mystery writers anything to do with your sudden desire for my company, or has the heat gone to your head?
Bart, you know where this screwball lives?
Yes, 418 Miles Street. Why?
Okay, come on. I'll tell you all the rest I know on the way.
You want to meet Herbert Wesley?
Yeah, I'd like to, but I don't think I'm going to.
Inspector, stop talking like a sphinx.
I think Herbert Wesley's dead. There was a telephone call, Bart.
Yes?
This guy told the operator to relay the call to you. The operator tried to get you, but you didn't answer.
That's right. I've been out all afternoon.
She figured it was police business anyway, so she called us down at headquarters. She gave it us word for word, just like I told you.
Well, that's strange. Very strange.
She was smart, though. She put it down that the call came in at exactly 2:15 p.m.
Well, why did you wait around for an hour for me? Why didn't you go out there and investigate at once?
Couldn't. No telephone listed under the name of Herbert Wesley. Had to wait around for you to get his address.
Well, knowing Wesley as I do, this might be one of his unconventional ways of getting publicity. I hope so, anyway.
If it is, I'll cool him off for a few days in the jug. Nobody's going to spend the taxpayers' money for no publicity stunt. Not on me, they aren't.
I might as well warn you, Inspector. Herbert Wesley hasn't always played entirely and strictly within the law.
Got a record?
No, I doubt if he's ever been caught, but he hasn't been above making money by sharp practices. I think it's more his flair for adventure, as I said before, the flamboyant than any real desire to break the law. It's the same with his women. He likes to play them fast and loose.
Well, if he ain't dead, I'll slow him down.
Well, you'd better slow down now, Inspector. This is the place.
Oh? Hey, is that the guy?
Who, Inspector?
That guy coming out of his house.
No, it isn't. Hey, come on, Inspector.
Hey, you, stop! Stop in the name of the law!
We'll get him, Inspector. He's running down a blind alley.
Yeah. Hey, you, stop or I'll shoot!
Okay, don't shoot. I got my hands up.
Okay. All right. What's the idea of running?
He's dead. The guy's dead.
Who's dead?
The guy in there, he's dead. If that's what you cops came to see, he's dead.
Well, then, let's just go right back in there.
Look, I didn't kill him. I didn't have anything to do with killing him. I swear to heaven I didn't.
What's your name, fella?
Mary. Danny Mary.
Did you say Dan Mary?
Hey. I know this guy, Bart. Wait a minute. Stand still, you. I thought so. I'll just take that gun.
I didn't kill Wesley. I didn't do it, see?
We'll see about that. We sent this guy up for 3 years, Bart, for passing stolen bonds. You break out, Mary, or did they let you out?
I was released last week.
We'll see about that, too.
So you're Dan Mary. Well, well.
Huh? What do you know about him, Bart?
You used to be Herbert Wesley's secretary, didn't you, Danny?
Yeah, that dirty skunk.
Both Wesley and you were mixed up in that stolen bond deal, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. The louse left me to take the whole rap. He double-crossed me, did.
Yes, indeed. I should think you rather owed Wesley something, Danny.
You bet I owed him something. And I came here today to pay him off. But I didn't kill him. Somebody else beat me to it.
Come on, Mary. We're going back in.
Okay, but remember, I didn't do it.
Phew. Open the window, Danny.
Okay.
Yep. Your friend's dead, all right, Bart.
No denying that, Inspector.
Land right by the telephone.
Room's in disorder. That's funny.
What is?
The receiver is back on the hook.
Hey, look. His clothes are all mussed up.
Yeah. Did you notice this bruise on the left temple, Inspector?
Yeah. Oh, well, that clothing business could have happened in his death phasm. Some poisons do that.
Yes, and the bruise could have happened when he fell, hit his head against the desk over there, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe this is the way to solve a case. Good old police routine.
Maybe you're right. Look, here's something a bit peculiar, Inspector.
What's that?
This small purplish bruise here on the inside of his arm, right here, under his elbow.
Oh, that?
Yes. Anything in the pockets, Inspector?
Yeah. Address book in his coat pocket. What's keys? Handkerchief? Wallet with $4. 83 cents in his pants.
Here's an open box of candy, Inspector. Several pieces are gone. There's a typewritten manuscript over there on the end table.
Hey, you're doing all right, Bart. Want to join the force?
No, thanks, Inspector, but thanks for the invitation.
Hey, wait a minute.
What now, Inspector?
I thought you said this guy quit being crazy.
What makes you think he didn't?
The manuscript. It's all typed in brown ink.
Yeah, so it is. Looks like Wesley must have reverted to type.
Quit trying to be funny.
I'm sorry. Look at this typewriter, Inspector. There's a brown ribbon in it.
Well, what'd you expect?
No, nothing. You go ahead, put Danny through your routine, Inspector. I want to look at this manuscript for a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, Danny, you might as well confess. Why'd you do it?
Look, I told you I came here to kill him, but I didn't. He was already dead.
Sure, they all pull that one. Now, come on.
Okay, I'll tell you one thing.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute,
I gotta warn you. Anything you say, I'll be used against you. Now, go on. What was it?
Nothing. I wasn't gonna say anything.
Why, you little...
Inspector.
Huh?
Lay off Danny for a minute. Come over here, huh?
Yeah?
This manuscript seems to be a combination mystery story and autobiography.
Autobiography?
Some of the events described in here really happened to Wesley, I know.
Sort of a diary, huh?
The odd thing is that his death is described in here perfectly. Even to that box of candy, that open box of candy on the table.
Well, how we do it?
In the manuscript here, it says that the candy has been poisoned.
Oh, nuts. Then I've got to let this merry guy go.
Quiet.
That settles it. It was nothing but an ordinary suicide.
But the manuscript says it was murder.
Now, look, Bart. If he knew the candy was poisoned, he wouldn't have eaten a bite.
Hmm. Inspector, look in that address book. See if there's a girl by the name of May Brewer. She's a nurse, according to this.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, there's a Brewer in here. Amy Brewer. But I don't see any...
That must be it, Inspector. The three letters are just changed around an old trick with writers. May, M-A-Y, A-M-Y, Amy. Simple, huh?
Yeah.
According to Wesley's last story here, it was a May Brewer who sent him the candy, the poison candy.
I still think the whole thing is nuts.
Is her address in there, Inspector?
Sure. 5544 North Linwood Street.
If you don't mind, Inspector, I think I'll visit the young lady and see what she knows.
I don't mind a bit. I'll phone for a detail to come out here and take care of the body. I'm going to drive this mug down to the station and sweat the truth out of him.
But I don't know anything. I don't.
That's what they all say.
Please, let me go. I've had enough punishment out of that guy. 3 years in prison for something.
That's as good a motive as I ever heard. Come on.
So the good inspector took poor old Dan Merry down to headquarters, and I went out to the North Linwood Street address. A pleasant young woman of about 29 answered my knock.
Yes?
You're Miss Amy Brewer?
Yes.
How do you do? I'm Barton Drake.
Yes?
You're a nurse, aren't you, Miss Brewer?
I am.
Do you happen to know a man by the name of Herbert Wesley?
Come in, Mr. Drake.
Thank you.
What's Herb done now?
What is your connection with Mr. Wesley, Miss Brewer?
Why, I know him, that's all.
Mm-hmm. How well?
I kept company with him for a while, that's all.
It might be easier for you, Miss Brewer, if you told me everything. I represent the police.
Police? What?
Herbert Wesley is dead.
Oh, no.
Yes. We're not certain as yet, but we think he died from the effects of poisoned candy.
Oh. So that was it. He tried to kill me. Herbert tried to kill me.
That remark can bear a bit of explaining, Miss Brewer.
I'll tell you everything. You'll find out anyway if you ever find the candy. My fingerprints will be on the box.
I hope you realize what you're saying.
I received the box of candy this morning by messenger. I opened it without bothering to see who it was from. There was a card from Herb inside. When I discovered it was from him, I wrapped it up and sent it back to him.
By messenger?
Yes.
What time was this?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Was it before or afternoon?
Afternoon.
12:30, 1, 1:30, 2, 3. I've got to be sure, Miss Brewer.
About 1, I think.
Uh-huh. Now, let's look into this other remark you made.
Which one?
That if it turned out that the candy was poisoned, Wesley was trying to kill you. What would he want to do that for?
I've known Herb for a long time. I thought he was going to marry me. He promised me he would.
Instead, he threw you over, huh?
He kept putting me off. Finally, I realized he didn't intend to marry me ever. He said I was beneath him.
That sounds like him.
For a while, I wanted to ruin him. I'll confess, I tried to. I tried every way.
How long ago was this, Miss Brewer?
About a year. I haven't seen him since.
Isn't it strange, then, that after a year, you received a box of candy from him this morning?
Not from Herb, it isn't. He was always doing crazy things. Nothing he would do would surprise me.
I see. As a nurse, you have a pretty thorough knowledge of poisons, haven't you, Miss Brewer?
Why, of course. Mr. Drake, surely you don't think I killed Herb. I couldn't kill anyone, no matter how much I hated him.
Then you admit you did hate him.
Yes, I hated him. His death is a shock, but I'm not sorry.
Miss Brewer, Herbert Wesley left a manuscript of a book he was writing. However, it seems to be more of a biography. It even points out his murder. It also names two men who he said wanted to kill him. We have one of the men in custody. The other is an Ellis Hazelton. Did you ever hear of such a man?
There was an Ellis Hazelton who used to be Herb's gardener.
Oh, do you know anything about him?
Yes. He had a very pretty young wife. If you knew Herb, you know that he could never resist a pretty woman.
In his manuscript, Herb mentioned that he was at fault for Mrs. Hazelton's death.
Well, I guess he was. At least morally.
Could you explain that?
Well, the way Herb told it to me, Mr. Hazleton found out about the affair. He faced his wife with it, and they had a big row. She said she was going to Herb, and Hazleton said she wasn't. They were on the street, and she started to run. He ran after her. She ran into the street and was killed by a car.
And Hazleton brooded over the incident and swore he would kill Leslie.
Yes. But how did you know?
It's all there in the manuscript, everything you've just told me.
Please tell me, Mr. Drake. Who does the manuscript name as Herb's murderer?
You, Miss Buller.
But I didn't. I didn't kill him.
It says that you killed him by sending him the poison candy.
I'll admit it looks bad.
However, that doesn't prove that you did, not by any means.
I assure you I didn't.
Have you any ideas where I can find this Ellis Hazleton?
Yes, I know where he lives.
I'd like to have you take me out there, if you will. If you won't, I'll be forced to take you down to headquarters.
I'll take you there.
Thank you.
But Hazleton didn't kill Herb, Mr. Drake. He didn't kill him any more than I did.
I understand that you're a gardener, Mr. Hazleton.
Yeah.
You were Mr. Wesley's gardener at one time.
Yeah, that dirty louse.
Have you seen Mr. Wesley in the past 2 or 3 days?
I ain't left my place here for 2 days.
Can you prove that?
What's all this about?
I notice you have a box of arsenic over there on the shelf.
Ah, sure. Use lots of arsenic. Kills gophers and snails. What are you talking that way for? What are you asking me all them questions for? I don't even know you.
Mr. Wesley has just been murdered, Mr. Hazleton. Poisoned, I believe.
You accusing me of doing it?
Says you threatened to kill him.
Why, you dirty snooping cop. I'm going to...
Look out, Mr. Drake!
I'll beat your brains in on it.
Mr. Drake, he knocked you down.
Don't you think I know that?
I'll bust your head in with this flower pot.
I don't think you will. Now get up, my friend. Behave yourself. Hand me that cord, Miss Brewer. I'm going to tie his hands to make sure.
Yes. Here, Mr. Drake.
Thank you.
I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him.
I didn't say you did.
I wish I had a...
That ought to hold you, my friend. Now, where's your telephone?
On the bench there.
Hello. Inspector Denton, please. Inspector, Bart. I have another suspect for you. Yes. 426 Wells Street. Send a car out, will you? Listen, you better come yourself and bring Dan Merry with you. And if they've made out the autopsy, bring the laboratory reports along, too. That's a good boy. We'll be waiting here for you. Well, Miss Brewer, I see you're still here.
Where else would I be?
Well, you had plenty of time during the excitement to make your getaway. Why didn't you leave?
That would have been more or less a confession of guilt, wouldn't it, Mr. Drake?
You got here nothing flat, Inspector. Where's Mary?
One of the boys has him on the car.
Good. Well, we'll leave him there for a few minutes. Here's your two other prisoners, Inspector.
Got anything on them?
Only the accusations made by Wesley in his books before he died.
That's all we've got on any of them.
What about that laboratory report?
Oh, yeah. Wesley died somewhere between 2 and 2:30 this afternoon.
I checked with the phone operator. She said the call was put through about 2:15. What about the candy?
It was loaded with arsenic.
And I'll bet you didn't find a grain of arsenic in Wesley's stomach, did you, Inspector?
No. How'd you know?
I'll even wager that the poison you did find in the body was 1,000 times more deadly. Right, Inspector?
Yeah, but after all...
Inspector, I'm surprised at you. Did you forget that smell of acid when we came into the death room? I'm sure you smelled almonds the same as I did.
Yeah, but all that talk about poison candy threw me off the track.
And the acid was administered by a hypodermic needle in the vein under the elbow. Am I right, Inspector?
Yeah.
And, of course, Herbert Wesley was first knocked out by that blow on the head. The bruise, you remember, Inspector?
Hey. Why do we go to all the trouble of having an autopsy in the first place?
Well, I could be wrong, you know.
I just wish for once you would.
One more thing, Inspector. Death must have been instantaneous due to the type of poison used. Am I right?
Yeah.
How about bringing Danny Merry in now, Inspector?
That's him. That's the man.
What?
That's the man who forced himself into my apartment.
Now, wait a minute. You didn't tell me about this.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
He forced himself into my apartment 5 days ago. He said he was a federal agent.
She's nuts. I never saw this dame before in my life.
Go on, Miss Brewer.
He made me tell him everything I knew about Herb and his friends.
How about that, Danny?
She's a liar.
He's the liar, Mr. Drake. I know who he is now, Mr. Drake. He's Danny Merry, Herb's ex-secretary. Been in prison for the past years. That's why I didn't recognize him at first.
Yes, that's quite true, Miss Bullard.
She's trying to pin the murder on me, Mr. Drake. Don't believe her.
Well, then, what's your story, Danny?
I couldn't possibly have done it. She did it herself. Who else but a nurse or a doctor would know how to use a hypodermic needle?
And who else but you knew how I felt about Herb? And who else but you knew I had threatened to kill him? Who else but you knew that I hated him enough so that I sent back the box of candy he sent me? You sent that candy yourself because you knew I'd be glad to...
You little minx, I'll serve your teeth.
Hey, no, 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 come on.
I'm not going to let that little she devil railroad me in a chair. I'll break apart.
Sit down.
Well, that just about winds it up, doesn't it, Inspector?
Huh?
This is just about as good a time and place to make your arrest as any, don't you think?
Huh? Oh, sure.
And so the good inspector made his arrest.
Amy Brewer, I arrest you for the woeful murder of one Herbert Wesley.
No,
anything you may say? Well,
nothing, no, no, not a little bit.
Ellis Hazleton, you're under arrest for...
Not him, Inspector.
Huh?
Yes, the inspector made his arrest. Danny Merry was taken kicking and screaming and turned over to the boys out in the car. And the inspector and I dropped in at Joe's place for our usual cup of coffee. Three spoons, Inspector?
No, four. It's too hot. I'm drinking iced tea.
Right.
Doggone it, Bart. I was sure that Dame was guilty.
Oh, no, Inspector. You're not really sorry she wasn't, are you? That Dame, as you call her, was pretty smart. You could use her down on the force.
You mean because she figured out who it was that sent the candy?
Of course, Inspector.
Yeah, that's right. She figured out he did that to throw suspicion on her and throw us off the trail of the real murderer.
Of course, I must admit. You were pretty smart, too, Inspector. I doubt if I ever could have figured this one out by myself.
What'd I do?
Well, for one thing, you had your first suspicions when you found the telephone placed back on the hook. Very neatly, right in its proper place.
Yeah, I'll admit, I did wonder about that.
Of course you did. You knew as well as I did that if Wesley died while he was talking on the phone, he wouldn't have been able to do that.
Of course he wouldn't. Anybody knows that.
Of course, Inspector. And of course you knew it wasn't suicide for the same reason.
Sure.
Especially since the death call and the time of death coincided so perfectly.
Yep.
But then when you found out what kind of poison had been used, you knew that it was impossible for Wesley himself to even have made the call.
Of course not. The guy died instantaneously.
Sure. So you knew that because it was a man who called, the call must have been made by the murderer himself.
Naturally, naturally.
Naturally. More sugar, Inspector?
No, lemon is too sweet.
Lemon, here.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And I could see that you were very suspicious when you saw that manuscript was typewritten in brown ink. You knew that Danny Merry had been in prison for the past 3 years, and he couldn't have known that Wesley had given up that brown ink kind of stuff over a year ago.
Yeah.
And, of course, that brand new ribbon on the typewriter in Wesley's machine proved it.
You mean the brown ribbon?
Yeah.
Proved what?
Why, Inspector, you know. You know that Danny Merry wrote that manuscript himself in Wesley's style, of course.
Oh, sure, and it kind of, he'd been Wesley's secretary once. He knew just how to do it.
Of course he did. When he went to Wesley's desk, he found that Wesley's typewriter had a black ribbon. He had to go out and buy a brown one and change it before he started typing.
Sure, that's why the guy was still at Wesley's place when we drove up.
That's right. You know, you're getting more brilliant every day, Inspector.
Experience, Bart.
That's what it is.
One thing, though, Bart, how about that telephone call?
Telephone, which one?
The guy who phoned the operator. He said he'd been trying to call you all afternoon, said he got a busy signal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said you weren't home. He was lying, wasn't he?
Well, if he wasn't, then I am.
Well, why would you want to do that?
Well, if you'll retrace my steps with me, Inspector, I believe I can prove I was really out this afternoon.
Then the guy didn't call you at all?
Of course not. He wouldn't dare. He'd have known I'd have recognized his voice, that it wasn't Wesley's. You know, it's just the same as you, Inspector.
What do you mean?
Well, you recognize the fact that Danny Merry was the killer the minute he accused Miss Brewer of using a hypodermic to administer the poison, didn't you?
Pass your sugar, Bart.
Here you are.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You knew he was a murderer then because he couldn't have known that a hypodermic had been used unless he'd been there when it was used.
Yep, that's right.
Yes, it is.
You know something, Bart?
No.
We did pretty good on this case, didn't we?
Yes, modestly. I think I can say yes.
Why don't you join the force, Bart? You and me'd make a pretty good team.
Oh, thanks, Inspector, but I don't think I will.
I'll show you the ropes. I'll help you a lot.
Oh, I appreciate that. But you know, I think I'll just keep on making mystery my hobby.
Mystery is My Hobby, coming to a close, that episode from January 21st, 1948.
You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tune to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levinier. Now on to one of the most listened to crime shows of its time, Casey Crime Photographer with Stotts Cotsworth as star. At the time of this next broadcast from Christmas Day 1949, CBS had hosted the show for 3 years, heard at 9:30 on Thursday nights. Over 16.5 million people tuned in week to week. That number questionable on Christmas Day when this next story was heard, Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Hi, Ethelbert. How did Santa Claus treat you?
Fine, just fine. I'm so full of Christmas spirit, I could even kiss the city editor.
What do you know? And me, I could even forgive and forget one or two of those Christmas neckties.
Hey, some of those things are Lulus. You ought to see the one Marvin got. It lights up and spells a message.
Well, anyway, it's a beautiful sentiment.
What's it say?
The most wonderful words. Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, the Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard. Ethelbert, the head bartender, gazes sympathetically at the two glum faces opposite him, sighs, and...
Casey, I know just how you and Miss Williams feel. It ain't right to have to work on Christmas Day.
The three of us should have different jobs, Ethelbert.
And say, Ethelbert, where's Herman Chittison?
Now, he's having Christmas dinner with his family, the lucky dog. Johnny Paul dropped in to play the piano for us today.
Oh, good. Oh, my. Holidays don't mean a thing in our racket, Ethelbert. Newspapers must be printed.
And guys in my profession have to stand behind bars and make with bottles.
And lemons.
Yeah. Oh, well, it might be worse. At least we ain't got families.
Well, that's what makes it worse for me. My family's 1,000 miles away.
I haven't got a family anywhere.
Well, you've got sisters, Casey.
Sure, they're all married. They all got families of their own and all 2,000 miles away.
My sister Edna ain't married. But you know Edna.
Yeah. Well, let's can this deep philosophical discussion, Annie. Get started for Hackett Street.
Hackett Street?
We have an assignment down there.
That's the crummiest street in town. Nothing but gin mills, flop houses, and bums.
Yeah, it's Bums Boulevard.
Why's your paper send you down there on Christmas?
For a story, of course.
Yeah. Ethelbert, you know, for the past 2 years, at exactly 1:30 on Christmas Day, a guy has shown up at the corner of Hackett and Finley with a wad of new $1 bills, which he's handed out to all the rummies around there. Then when his wad is gone, he's beat it, without telling anybody who he is, where he's from, or anything.
If he shows up again this year, City Desk wants pictures of him and a complete yarn about him. We'll play him up as the Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard.
The guy must be nuts, giving good dough away to a bunch of lushes who'll spend it on nothing better than cheap hooch. What kind of a guy is he?
Oh, probably a publicity hound, I guess. Well, come on, let's get started, Annie.
Yeah, we haven't too much time before 1:30. So long, Ethelbert.
So long, and Merry Christmas. Mm.
Yeah, it'll be a very merry and very Christmassy Christmas among the panhandlers and drunks we're going to see. You know, the holiday spirit's a lot of malarkey anyway, unless you got a family. Come on, Annie.
Yeah, you're right, Casey.
Yeah, he's right. Walter, bring up some lemons.
Late. That man will have given away his dollar bills and be gone by the time we get there.
Annie, can I help it if we ran out of gas 4 blocks from the nearest open filling station?
You could have had the tank filled before it went dry.
Oh, sure. I'm wrong. I'm always wrong to hear you tell it. All you women do is nag.
And a Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, kid. I'm a dope.
I'm sorry. I love the bracelet you gave me, Casey.
Huh? Yeah.
You have exquisite taste.
That looks swell on you. Hey, I wanted to get you a ring.
A ring?
Yeah, with your birthstone. Amethyst. See, I know it.
Oh.
Right. I didn't see any I liked.
It's just as well. I don't care for amethysts and rings.
No?
No.
Oh. Wish I could afford a family of my own, Annie.
What makes you think you can't?
My pay envelope, the cost of living. Well, maybe someday.
And maybe when that someday comes, no woman will want you.
Yeah, you may have something there. I've been a bachelor so long, Annie, it's become a habit. You know, this morning when I woke up in my dinky little apartment, I felt, I don't know, empty and lonely and useless. I haven't got a home.
I felt the same way.
I wonder, maybe, Annie, if the two of us...
What about the two of us?
Well, I... Oh, nuts. Look at this crummy street and the people on it. How can anybody think of home and a family life down here? How can anybody believe in anything or dream of anything? Every one of these bums, Annie, had big ideas once, and now look at
them. The street is frightening, isn't it?
When anybody reaches here, he's finished.
The last stop. There's a crowd lined up at the next corner, Casey. Yeah. Is that where they're
going? Yeah, that's the place where the dollar bill Santa Claus has shown up before.
Well, maybe he's been there and gone.
Mm-mm. No, if that were so, those rum-dums wouldn't be standing in line. They'd all be in the nearest gin mill spending the dough or fighting to get it away from each other. Well, I'll park the car here and walk the rest of the way.
Yeah, the car may be safer away from that mob.
That's how I figure. Let's see, I got the camera. Lock the car. Okay, let's go.
It's 2:15, Casey. According to his previous schedule, Santa Claus is 15 minutes late. Maybe he won't show up.
Mm. It'll be a big Christmas thirst on Bums Boulevard if he doesn't. I'm sorry.
Pardon, mister. I didn't see you.
Oh, okay, sister. Take it easy now.
So I'm all right. Don't I know you?
I don't think so. Holy. Miss Arnold.
We're both mistaken. I don't know you, and you don't know me. Excuse me for bumping you. Goodbye.
Casey, what?
Annie. That dame is Julia Arnold.
Julia Arnold?
She was a big actress, a great star.
Julia? She was a Broadway sensation when I was in college. Why, she was beautiful. Oh, Casey, that woman can't be...
The way she denied her identity proves she is, Annie. I heard that Julia Arnold hit the skids, but...
Oh, gee, Casey.
She was married to a nice guy who got killed in the war, and then her kid died, and she... It's not nice, is it?
And spare dime, mister. Just a dime.
I guess, old-timer. Let me see.
I ain't a drinking man, mister. I'll spend it for food, not liquor.
You don't look like a rummy.
I ain't. I'm just old. You can ask anybody around here about Smitty, that's me. They'll tell you Smitty don't drink, don't steal. The worst they'll tell you about Smitty is he's just too old.
Look, I haven't got any small change, Smitty. Here's a buck.
Oh, and here's another for me.
$2? Oh, God bless you, boy.
Forget it.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.
You didn't look like a faker, Casey.
No, just old.
Christmas.
There are plenty of fakers in that mob we're coming to, though.
Oh, they look like a line of zombies.
Yeah. Dead and won't lie down. Uh-oh. Not that big guy over there, though, Annie. See that big, heavy-set mug, the green lumberjack coat?
Oh, he looks like a prize fighter.
I know that guy. His name is Boots Driscoll. He's a yellow skunk. He's mean as a copperhead. You know, that louse would steal pennies from Kid, and he's the boss of Bums Boulevard.
I gather you don't like him.
I don't.
Well, look who's here.
Hello, Boots.
Hi, Casey. I ain't seen you since...
Yeah, since the last time you came out of the big house.
That's right. Who's the good-looking dame with you?
This lady's a friend of mine.
Well, ain't you gonna introduce us?
Nope.
Oh, what are you doing down here in my territory?
Came to get a line on the screwball who hands out new dollar bills on Christmas. Apparently he's late.
Yeah, the louse. When he shows up, I get a good mind to kick his head in.
Yeah, not until after he hands out his dough, of course. You think he'll show up?
The folks think so because they want to think it. Me? I just stick around and keep everybody in line.
So you got them all lined up?
Yeah. First come, first served, if and when Santa Claus gets here. All right, stop pushing, you bums. Get back in line.
Of course, you get something for your policing service.
Well, why not? Them jerks would tear one another to pieces fighting for a grab at them bucks like they did last year if I wasn't around. This year, I'm taking a cut of 35 cents out of every bum here to keep things peaceful.
Boots, you've got all the instincts of a big racketeer.
I'll say.
Where's the racket part? This is a legitimate business.
I guess it is at that for you. This way, you're getting the dough without using a gat or brass knuckles.
Say, if that's meant as a crack...
Skip it, Boots. I'm nearly as big as you are.
Boots.
What?
Casey, that awful-looking man.
Boots.
What do you want, Creep?
Creep's a good name for him.
Hey, the guy who passes out dough. Santa Claus. I just found him.
You found him?
Yeah. In the alley back of Fritz's gin mill. Somebody socked him on the head and took all his dough. I think the guy's dead.
Dead?
Dead.
Dead.
Yeah, dead.
Dead. Hey, you bums stay here. Show me, Creep.
Yeah, come on.
We're going too, Annie.
Well, I'll say we are.
There he is, Boots. Lying behind a beer keg.
Yeah, I see him, Creep. His pockets have been turned out. He's been rolled.
There ain't a dime left on him.
You'd be sure of that.
He's so still, Casey. Is he dead?
No. His heart's good and strong, Annie. He's only been knocked out.
He's such a little man. Such a mild, gentle-looking little man. Oh, who could have done
I'll find out who took the dough he meant to give us. And when I do...
Shut up, Boots. The guy just opened his eyes. He's coming too.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Just a guy who wants to help you, mister.
My headaches.
Yeah, it'd be a miracle if it didn't. You've been slugged hard.
Yes. Something hit me.
Did you see the rat who hit you? The rat who took your dough?
My dough?
Yeah, you've been rolled, fella. Your money's gone.
Oh, the money.
Who got it?
I can't say.
How much did you have on you?
$300, a new $1 bill.
$300?
Maybe the cops can get it back. Annie, see if we can find
the
telephone.
No, no. No, don't call the police.
Why not? You've been assaulted and robbed.
But my head doesn't hurt very much now. I haven't been really injured. And I'm sure the thief will return the money.
Return?
When he becomes aware that it belongs to his neighbors, to his comrades down here. You see, I meant to give it away.
You think the thief will return it on that account?
When he thinks about it, yes.
This guy must be nuts.
Thieves can be good people.
Mister, you haven't been around much.
You got as much chance of getting that dough back as I have of being elected a Supreme Court judge.
If you had taken the money, wouldn't you return it under the circumstances?
Me? Of course. I'm different.
Well, you're different from the guy who got the 300, Boots. He has it and you haven't. But maybe I'm wrong.
Hey, what do you mean?
At what time do you think you were hit and robbed, mister?
I entered the alley at about 20 minutes of 2.
And I've been on that corner where you met me, Casey, ever since 1 o'clock. Every bum in that line will say so. You can't pin this on me.
Okay, Boots, but you should understand my natural suspicion.
Yeah.
Who, Creep?
Yes, sir.
What were you doing in this alley when you found him?
Well, I was just walking through, honest. I seen a foot sticking out from the back of them kegs, and... Well, when I looked closer, there this guy was. Well, I didn't take his toe boots. Don't look at me like that.
I believe you, Creep. Why shouldn't I?
Well, I don't.
Let go of my collar.
Shut up, Creep. Mr. Santa Claus, whether you like it or not, I'm going to find a cop and have this Creep guy searched.
Wait. You're not the wrong person. And I will make no complaint.
What?
There's nothing you can do, Casey, if that's how the little guy wants it.
It is how I want it.
You gotta let me go.
Okay. Insist on being a sap, mister. It's your hard luck, not mine. Well, come on, eh? Let's get out of here.
Oh, I'd like to, Casey, but I've been assigned to interview this gentleman.
Oh, no, that's so, yeah.
Interview me?
Yeah. To begin with, what's your name?
Why, Shepherd.
Shepherd?
Yes.
First name? Oh, Casey, catch him.
I got him. Hey, the guy passed out.
The crack on the head did more damage than he admitted.
Look, there's a clinic up the street. We'll get him to a doc.
I guess you can take care of Malone, huh, Casey?
Yes, I won't need your help, Victor.
We parked our car near here this alley, Casey's not.
Okay,
Annie. Well, I'll be getting along myself, Boots. So long.
Oh, no, Creep.
Hey, why are you grabbing my arm?
You're gonna give me that $300 you took.
Sure you feel all right now, Mr. Shepherd?
Yes, Miss Williams.
Doc said you got a really nasty crack on the head. I'll drive you home. He wants you to stay in bed for a few days.
Thank you, but men are seldom as sick as their learned physicians say. I'm quite all right.
Just the same, we're taking you to your home.
Yeah, where do you live?
Very close by.
What? You mean in this neighborhood?
Yes, but I have some unfinished business to attend to before I lie down, Mr. Casey. That money hasn't been returned yet.
If you get it back, Mr. Shepard, I'll believe in the faith that moves mountains.
Mountains have been moved by steam shovels, Miss Williams. And man's faith in himself created the steam shovel.
By that you mean you're going to do something to persuade the thief?
I shall only remain near the thief so he can find me.
I don't get you.
Casey.
Huh?
Look.
Holy, it's that Creek guy.
His face is terribly bruised.
He must have crashed into a 10-ton truck.
Yeah, he's dragging himself along.
Hey, Creep, what happened to you?
How did...
Boots. Boots beat me up.
Boots?
In the alley after you left.
Why?
He thought I took that $300. He beat me up and then searched me. But he didn't find it because I didn't have it. Buy me a drink, will you? I need a drink there.
We're going to take you into the clinic and get you patched up.
No. When the docs get their mitts on guys like me, they send us to the hospital where we can't get no liquor. So just buy me a shot, mister, huh? That's all I need.
No, I'm going to...
We'll serve this man best by doing as he asks, Casey. At the moment, his body needs its accustomed alcohol more than his bruises need medical treatment.
You're a wise guy, mister. You're a real gent.
Unfortunately, I have no money to give him.
All right, Creep, I'll buy you a drink. And I'll go into a gin mill with you. While you tell me more about finding Mr. Shepard in that alley.
I already told you all I know.
Now, we'll talk about that later. Come on. We're going to this joint here.
Yeah. Oh, this is an awful place, Casey.
Yeah, it is. You stay outside, Annie.
Oh, why should I? There's another woman at the bar.
Huh? Yes. That's Julia Arnold.
Oh, I see. The actress.
Yeah. You coming in too, Mr. Shepard?
Yes, thank you.
Hey, Gus. Hey, give me a shot, huh? Give me a shot quick.
Well, I see you got the dough to pay for it, Creep.
I'm paying for his drink.
Oh. Well, you gents and lady have.
Nothing for me.
Oh, me either.
I'll have a little wine.
Hey, one of the gents ain't ashamed to have a drink with the likes of me, Gus.
What kind of wine, mister?
Plain red wine.
Alky for me, Gus, and quick.
Okay.
All right, now we'll do some talking, Creep. Mr. Shepard says he went into that alley at around 20 minutes of 2. Where were you at that time?
Mr. Casey, no purpose can be served by questioning this man. I'm making no complaint to the police, and I...
You may condone a crime, Shepard, but I don't.
I don't condone the crime. I'm forgiving it.
Well, we wouldn't have much law and order if everyone did that.
Perhaps we'd have more, Miss Williams.
I just don't care about $300, Annie.
Here your drinks.
Give me, Gus.
The money wasn't mine, Mr. Casey. I'd have given it away in another few minutes.
And a lot of good it would have done him. A buck apiece that'd slide across bars like this for raw alcohol. Mr. Shepard, you seem like an awful nice guy, but it's time somebody taught you the facts of life.
Few can teach the facts of life, Mr. Casey. Few but little children. Because man forgets the simplicity of childhood, he forgets that all the world is one great family. I think our friend Creep would like another drink.
Yeah. And thanks a million, mister. Hey, Gus.
Okay, Creep. Be with you in a minute.
Hey, Gus.
What do you want, Julie?
For another drink, of course.
You drank up the buck you gave me.
No, Casey, that fine actress.
Come here, Gus. Come here.
There's nothing anybody can do for her, Annie. Julia Arnold's hit bottom.
Look, I fooled you, Gus. I held out. I got another dollar bill.
Another brand new one, Julia.
Another new.
Where'd you get this dough? When you were in here this noon, you said you didn't have a dime.
Casey.
Julie found them, Gus. I found them, and I got more hid away.
You hear that, Shepard? I heard. When she leaves this place, we follow.
Well, she's turned into the same alley where you were robbed, Mr. Shepard.
I see, Miss Williams.
We saw her come out of that same alley just a little while before Creep found you.
Poor woman.
Yeah, it's a rotten shame. Julia Arnold was a fine person once.
You can be a fine person again. Casey, why didn't you let Creep come here with us?
Oh, because these bums all stick together. I know how they act. He might have tipped off Julia Arnold that we're trailing her.
She's going down into that cellar, Casey.
Come on, we don't want to lose her.
Wait. That man.
Boots Driscoll.
He was hiding behind those ash cans. Now he's going down into the cellar.
As though he were watching for Julia Arnold, as though he's following her now. Come on, let's go.
There are rooms down here.
She probably lives in this cellar.
Yeah, but which door?
Get out of here!
Her
get
voice.
Out!
That door, Casey.
No! No!
We're going in, all right. Let her go, Boots.
I said
let her go.
They broke my arm.
What's the big idea, Boots?
I ask her.
He came to rob me. He said he'd make me tell where my money was hidden.
And you're going to tell me, Olia. Stick up your hands.
Casey.
The man has a gun.
I see.
Stick him up, I said.
Okay, Boots. But you're losing what little minds you ever had. A lousy $300
is worth of shut up, Casey. This is my territory. I'm boss, and I don't take no double crossing. Hand it over, Julie, or...
I haven't $300. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hand it over.
Don't shoot. I'll give you what I have. I found $6 bills in the alley today. You have the four I have left.
You're bluffing, but I ain't. Give me that $300. Keep back, Casey. You get it first.
You're crazy, Boots. Listen.
Shut up. This is your last chance, Julie. Give me that $300 or...
Oh, Boots.
Huh?
She ain't got it.
Creep.
I got it. I stole it and I hid it. Here it is.
You lousy double-crosser.
Mr. Shepard, I'm sorry for what I did to you. I ain't never been no good. Standing at that bar with you, you drinking with me like I wasn't just a rat. I don't know. I had to get the dough I'd hidden, bring it to you. I'm sorry I had to hand it over to Boots.
You gave it to him to save this woman's life, Creep.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I did. Another thing, I dropped them six new dollar bills on purpose in the alley when I saw Julie coming so she'd find them and spend them and take the rap from me.
There'll be no rap for anyone.
You said it. None of you birds are gonna live to squeal on me.
You don't want to shoot us, Boots.
Don't I?
Do you?
I got myself in too deep.
Not yet. You haven't taken life. And your life isn't finished.
I ain't gonna finish it and stir. I got a chance and none of you talk.
Yes, you have. Why don't you shoot us, Boots?
Well, I'm gonna.
When?
Shut up. I can't shoot a guy who talks like you do.
Words have never stopped a bullet or a true desire.
Nuts. Here, Casey, take this gat and this dough and send for the cops. I'm tired of being a phony tough guy.
Shall I send for the cops, Mr. Shepard?
If you wish, Casey.
You're running this.
We have $300. Everyone seems to agree that my original plan for its distribution was unwise. What do you suggest we do with it? May I have your suggestion, Creep?
I tried to frame Julie. Give it to her.
And your suggestion, Boots?
Give it to Julie.
It's yours, Miss Arnold.
Mine? $300. Well, I can buy a decent dress. Once I earn that much for a single performance, I can do it again.
If you believe so.
But I don't need this money you intended for the poor. I'm not poor. God gave me gifts I've squandered. I still have some left. They're all I need. Give this money to the really poor.
What shall I do with it, Casey?
Mr. Shepard? You're still running this.
Shepard gave the dough to that old man who panhandled you and Miss Williams, huh, Casey?
Yeah. Smitty, who didn't drink and didn't steal. Was just old.
What do you suppose Smitty did with it, Ethelbert?
How should I know?
He was so happy, he had to make others feel the same way. He played Santa Claus.
You mean?
Yeah. He stood on the corner of Bums Boulevard and handed out those dollar bills.
Funny, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was like a little child who hadn't forgotten that all the world is one big family.
Yeah, that's a pretty thought.
I got it from Mr. Shepherd.
He sounds like a very interesting guy. What'd you find out about him, Miss Williams? Him personal, I mean.
Nothing. While we were watching old Smitty give his money away, Mr. Shepherd wandered off and we lost him.
Think you'll find him again?
Well, I hope so.
So do I.
But you don't know his address or even what business he's in?
No. But he told me he was once a carpenter.
Saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
KC Crime Photographer on Tune 2 Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from the 25th of December, 1949. That brings to a close our cases for this hour of mystery on Tune 2 Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more shows from Radio's Golden Era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.